our second scripture reading this morning is a long one. It's John 11, 1 through 45. So I pray you'll bear with me through this. And if you'd like, this is one where you really may want to open your pew Bibles to page 873 and follow along. Now a certain man was ill, Lazarus of Bethany, the village of Mary and her sister Martha. Mary was the one who anointed the Lord with perfume and wiped his feet with her hair. Her brother Lazarus was ill. So the sisters sent a message to Jesus, "Lord, he whom you love is ill." But when Jesus heard it, he said, "The illness does not lead to death. Rather, it is for God's glory, so that the Son of Man may be glorified through it." Accordingly, though Jesus loved Martha and her sister and Lazarus, after having heard that Lazarus was ill, he stayed 2 days longer in the place where he was. Then after this, he said to the disciples, "Let us go to Judea again." The disciples said to him, "Rabbi, the Jews were just now trying to stone you, and are you going there again?" Jesus answered, "Are there not 12 hours of daylight? Those who walk during the day do not stumble because they see the light of this world. But those who walk at night stumble because the light is not in them." After saying this, he told them, "Our friend Lazarus has fallen asleep, but I am going there to awaken him." The disciples said to him, "Lord, if he has fallen asleep, he will be all right." Jesus, however, was speaking about his death, and they thought that he was referring merely to sleep. Then Jesus told them plainly, "Lazarus is dead. For your sake, I am glad I was not there, so that you may believe. But let us go to him." Thomas, who was called the twin, said to his fellow disciples, "Let us also go, that we may die with him." Then Jesus arrived. He found that Lazarus had already been in the tomb 4 days. Now Bethany was near Jerusalem, some 2 miles away. And many of the Jews had come to Martha and Mary to console them about their brother. When Martha heard that Jesus was coming, she went and met him, while Mary stayed at home. Martha said to Jesus, "Lord, if you had been here, my brother would not have died. But even now I know that God will give you whatever you ask of him." Jesus said to her, "Your brother will rise again." And Martha said to him, "I know that he will rise again in the resurrection on the last day." Jesus said to her, "I am the resurrection and the life. Those who believe in me, even though they die, will live. And everyone who lives and believes in me will never die. Do you believe this?" She said to him, "Yes, Lord, I believe that you are the Messiah, the Son of God, the one coming into the world." When she had said this, she went back and called her sister Mary and told her privately, "The teacher is here and is calling for you." And when she heard it, she got up quickly and went to him. Now Jesus had not yet come to the village, but was still at the place where Martha had met him. The Jews who were with her in the house, consoling her, saw Mary get up quickly and go out. They followed her because they thought she was going to the tomb to weep there. When Mary came where Jesus was and saw him, she knelt at his feet and said to him, "Lord, if you had been here, my brother would not have died." When Jesus saw her weeping and the Jews who came with her also weeping, he was greatly disturbed in spirit and deeply moved. He said, "Where have you laid him?" And they said to him, "Lord, come and see." Jesus began to weep. So the Jews said, "See how he loved him." But some of them said, "Could not he who opened the eyes of the blind man have kept this man from dying?" Then Jesus, again greatly disturbed, came to the tomb. It was a cave, and a stone was lying against it. And Jesus said, "Take away the stone." Martha, the sister of the dead man, said to him, "Lord, already there is a stench, because he has been dead 4 days." Jesus said to her, "Did I not tell you that if you believed, you would see the glory of God?" So they took away the stone, and Jesus looked upward and said, "Father, I thank you for having heard me. I knew that you always hear me, but I have said this for the sake of the crowd standing here, so that they may believe that you sent me." When he had said this, he cried with a loud voice, "Lazarus, come out!" The dead man came out, his hands and feet bound with strips of cloth, and his face wrapped in a cloth. Jesus said to them, "Unbind him and let him go." Many of the Jews, therefore, who had come with Mary and had seen what Jesus did, believed in him. It's God's word for God's people. May the Lord bless this reading and our understanding of it today. I see we have a future scripture reader as well with us today. That's good. Well, our story this morning of the events surrounding the death of Jesus' good friend Lazarus and his subsequent raising is, I think, one of the most amazing miracles in the Bible, certainly in the Gospels. And this story is filled with symbolism and meaning, not the least of which is a foreshadowing of the Easter message, the assurance of resurrection to eternal life. This, however, is not a resurrection in the same sense that Jesus was resurrected. Because you see, when Lazarus walks out of that cave, he faces the prospect of a physical death again, unlike Jesus, who is resurrected in glory and will never experience death. I've always wondered what Lazarus did after this event in his life. I've talked to people sometimes that have had near-death experiences, and their outlook on life usually changes very dramatically as a result of an incident like this one. But as amazing as it was, the fact that Lazarus is raised from death is not the point of this story. The point is to show the power of God and that Jesus Christ has come from God. Look at the prayer that Jesus prays there in verse 41 and 42. "Father, I thank you for having heard me. I knew that you always hear me, but I have said this for the sake of the crowd standing here, so that they may believe that you have sent me." Well, isn't this the question that seems to follow Jesus throughout his ministry? Last week, when we read the story of the healing of a man blind since birth, the big question was whether Jesus was from God or from Satan. You remember the Pharisees held that since Jesus had healed on the Sabbath, something they viewed as prohibited by law, that he must not be from God. Their focus was on the legalities surrounding the event rather than on the extraordinary power that Jesus had demonstrated. And the blind man testified to them that he didn't know if Jesus was a sinner or not, but that once he was blind, but now he could see. Well, our story this week gives us some additional insight into something I think that we all do. And listen closely. It shames me to have to admit this, but something I think we do is profess Christ with our lips, but live in such a way that our faith is limited or restricted. We limit it to what we see and what we know. So in other words, we sell Jesus short. We hesitate to ask for anything that might be too big for God, for fear that we will be disappointed. Mary, Martha, and their brother Lazarus live in a town called Bethany, just a few miles from Jerusalem. And it's well known that for Jesus, the home of Mary and Martha is a haven of sorts. It's a place where he is accepted and loved, and that it's possible Lazarus was Jesus' very best friend outside of the immediate disciples. And being so close to Jerusalem, it was also a place we know was hostile to Jesus. So perhaps that is what the disciples thought when Jesus said he's going to remain where he is, even after getting that call from Mary and Martha to come quickly. And he tells the disciples that there is no need to go right away, that Lazarus' sickness will not lead to death, but in God's power being revealed. Well, I can picture this now. They aren't entirely sure what Jesus is talking about, but they accept it, and they shrug and walk away. You see, they probably aren't all that eager to go back to Judea themselves, because everyone knows how close to Jesus they are. And they were probably in danger as well. Well, after a few days, Jesus mentions returning, but his disciples question him openly. and wonder if that's such a good idea. Is it only when Jesus tells them, it is only when Jesus tells them plainly that Lazarus has died that they agree to go. And then, of course, by the time they arrive, Lazarus has been dead for 4 days. So I'd like you to work with me here and try to capture some of those emotions that are going on. For instance, for the disciples, they are probably very sad. Lazarus was, after all, their friend too, and now he is dead. They may be having some doubts about Jesus. Didn't he just tell them a few days ago that Lazarus would not die from that illness? And now he's leading them right back into hostile territory where all their lives are threatened. So I can imagine they are afraid and maybe even a little angry. What's the point in risking their lives if Lazarus is already dead? And then consider Mary and Martha. The scripture says that when word reaches them about Jesus' arrival, Martha goes out to meet him, and Mary stays behind. Remember another time that's recorded in Luke where Jesus is visiting, and Martha is busy preparing a meal, preparing for Jesus' visit, and Mary goes and sits at Jesus' feet and listens to his teachings. Remember how Martha gets a little put out with Mary? When there's so much work to do, you're just sitting around. But here, it's Martha that comes to meet Jesus and Mary that stays behind. And I get the sense that they are probably both very angry, and that they're both pretty angry at Jesus for not coming sooner. They separately tell Jesus what they believe to be true, that their brother didn't have to die. If only Jesus had been there, he could have prevented it. So they are both angry, they're grieving, and they're disappointed. And they believed, of course, that it was too late. Lazarus was dead, and they are resigned to the death of their brother. And while they're pleased that Jesus has finally come, they are deeply hurt. Well, since it is Lent, and because forgiveness is such a big part of our preparation for Easter, I'd like to point out that it appears that Martha's love for Jesus has led her to a place where she is able to at least begin forgiving Jesus, where Martha can begin forgiving Jesus. For Mary, we already know how deeply her love is, and yet she holds back and stays home. She's not ready to face Jesus yet. To me, this is just one more way of showing how differently we all grieve, how differently our emotions affect us, and how differently we forgive. It doesn't mean that Martha loved her brother less, or that Mary didn't still love Jesus, because later we see how quickly she comes once Jesus calls for her. And despite fully knowing what he is about to do, Jesus sees the pain and the suffering of his friends, and his heart breaks for them. And then we see the shortest verse in the Bible, Jesus wept. Jesus weeps with us as well. When our hearts are heavy and there is nothing we can do about it, Jesus is with us, weeping by our side. That's one reason I feel it is so important for us to reach out to friends and family members in difficult times. Because God can and will use us as manifestations of Christ to hold and comfort one another, not through anything we might say. In fact, I encourage you not to say anything, but just be there, be present. Be present as Christ is present, and that is enough. Now, if I stopped right here, we have already learned a great deal from this story about God's power and compassion, and about the glory of God's Son. But I think there is also a message for us about when and how God interacts with us and with creation. Some of us recently went to watch the movie The Shack that is playing in the theaters right now. A few years back, the book was very popular, and some churches even held discussion groups about it. But the reason I think it gets so much attention is because it grapples with a question of evil and why evil exists in the world, and how if God is all-powerful and all-present, why do these terrible things keep happening? Well, there are many theories about this that have been presented over the centuries, and I've shared some of those with our youth and with our weekly Bible study group. But after studying this and thinking about it for many years, I've concluded that there isn't any one theory that can adequately capture the nature of God or why evil exists. We get hints. Sometimes we see and experience things, and we know that God is there. And we have examples like today's scripture, where we see that God is interacting in humankind and in our history. And I do believe that God can make good come out of any situation, but I don't believe God causes those situations to happen. And while this understanding has helped me deal with the existence of evil and some of the seemingly random tragedies of life, I still don't understand why things happen the way they do, why one person gets well or another gets sick and dies, or any other number of tragedies. But it goes back to something I think I said last week when Jesus was questioned as to why the man had been born blind. And Jesus responds that it's so that God's works might be revealed through him. No other reason except that. And that we too are created in the same way, so that God's works might be revealed through us. And I think the answer this week is very similar. Remember that prayer that Jesus spoke? This illness does not lead to death, rather it is for God's glory. Could it be that God interacts in creation not because of anything we want or ask for, but because of his purposes? Consider the words of the Apostle Paul in those beautiful verses in 1 Corinthians. For now we see in a mirror dimly, but then we will see face to face. Now I know only in part, then I will know fully, even as I have been fully known. And now faith, hope, and love abide, these three. And the greatest of these is love. The greatest is love. It always amazes me how often things come back around to that one commandment that Christ gave us, to love one another as God loves us. And that's the message this week, to love one another as God loves us. Let us pray. Lord God, we thank you for this message this week of this foreshadowing of the Easter story and of this resurrection to new life that you have given us. We praise you and thank you, Lord, in the name of your Son, Jesus Christ. Amen.